proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Welcome, friends. It is my privilege to welcome you to the program once again. If this is the first time that you are with us, I pray that you will go to the archives and find other topics that should be of great interest and use for you. And if they are, then you can share them with your family and friends. When you find a good thing, you must share it. In this program, we're going to deal with a very sensitive subject, and we have to present a stance from the Word of God. This is not based on anyone's opinion. It is based on the Word of God, and it is based on the fruit and the results that we see in life when these things impact the life of individuals, of families, and now we are seeing the impact in our communities. The title of an article on the Daily Caller called my attention of how some detransitioners are coming out against sex change procedures and the gender ideology. And this is something that sooner or later has to happen in the lives of those who choose to go against their original biological design. And I said to myself, well, of course, we are going to begin to see more and more of this, because sooner or later, those who have accepted so-called sex change procedures have to feel totally unnatural and can never be happy or completely fulfilled doing this. Why? Because it is not who they are. It is not who they are. And hormones and surgery and clothing and behavior will never truly succeed at changing a person's biological sex. And you do not have to be a biologist. You do not have to be somebody who has had higher learning on the human anatomy to know this. This is a fact of life. It's basic knowledge that we are born with a gender assignment and it is given by our Creator. No one else can give us this. So it is no wonder why a high percentage of people who go through these procedures end up committing suicide. And it's not just because society at large has a problem with this. No doubt that would present some kind of pressure on them when people reject them. But it is because it is totally unnatural. And in time, they feel completely lost with no real identity. They are rejecting the identity that they were born with. And this, of course, sooner or later, causes a short circuit and the person feels annihilated. They're neither here nor there. So in this program, let's look at this issue of transgenderism and its effects. This is part number one, and I'm Nena Arias, and again, it is my privilege to welcome you to the program. We have to admit that these are strange times we are living in, where black is being called white, where bitter is now sweet, where good is evil and evil is accepted as good by many people. In other words, we are living life upside down, changing the order of things that can never be changed, or we should never even attempt to change things that are established by our Creator. Rather, we should seek to understand life better. So this thing of calling good evil and evil good, this is exactly what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." End of quote. That word, woe, expresses that there's great distress and trouble for people who proceed to change the definition and the order of things that are unchangeable. You're going to have a lot of trouble in your life if you try to see something that is white and you say it is black and you convince yourself of that. You are going to live life upside down. You're going to clash with a lot of people. And ultimately, the result or the fruit of that so-called understanding that you have embraced is not going to be gratifying for you in the long haul. You are trying to be wise in your own eyes, and you're going to get into a lot of distress and trouble as a result of it. That's what the prophet Isaiah is saying. Then in Luke chapter 11, verse 35, it says, "Be careful then that the light within you is not darkness." End of quote. He's saying there, be very careful that what you are calling light could actually be darkness. Find out what you believe and why you believe it. And really, the only one that is trustworthy to compare these perspectives with is God and the knowledge that He has given us through His Word. That is the best way. And I often think of, how do you know that a line is crooked? You simply have to put it alongside a straight line, and you will know the difference. So there are things that to us as humans look like they're okay, they're acceptable, but when we compare them with God's knowledge, we will see clearly that many are not. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." End of quote. It's not a thing of being a weakling or a person that's not thinking straight or doesn't have the capacity to think straight to admit that you're not wise in your own eyes to the degree of what life requires. And it is of wise people to acknowledge that God is all wise. And it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. In other words, pay attention. Pay attention to what God is saying. And He is the only one that can truly tell us what is evil and what is not. First of all, in this topic of transgenderism and its effects, let's define this word that may be still new or strange to a lot of people. What is the definition of transgender? The dictionary says that transgender is a person appearing or attempting to be a member of the opposite sex, as a transsexual or habitual cross-dresser. That is the definition that we get from the dictionary. Now notice that it says a person who is appearing or trying to look different or attempting to be a member of the opposite sex. It doesn't say that they succeed at doing so. They make an attempt at these things. So in simple terms, a transgender is a person who rejects the biological sexual gender they were born with and are going through procedures in efforts to change to the opposite sex. They are making specific efforts to bring this about. And we are hearing of this happening at a rate that we had never lived before. People present a myriad of reasons and excuses of why they want to do this, but ultimately it doesn't work. And they end up being very unfulfilled individuals, even though they will not say it. Many of them will go on for decades and decades and decades, lying to themselves and pretending to others that they made the right decision. But there's no way that they can feel natural, that they can feel fully fulfilled in a position or in an identity that does not belong to them and it is not real. This happens in life whenever people reject God's design of anything pertaining to life. It's not just in relation to the sexual gender. Human beings have a tendency to want to create their own path in life when they want to run away from the original design, because then they have to admit that there is a creator and that he is the one that has established all these orders. And that is just plain rebellion in the human heart. And when it's prolonged, it is there by choice. People are making choices over and over and over again, attempting to run away from the absolute truth that God gives us. And in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, it explains what happens. And it says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, a piece of pottery among other earthenware pottery pieces. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?'" End of quote. This is not a far-fetched illustration, dear folks, because we are created by our maker. We do not create ourselves. And just like a piece of pottery cannot or should not fuss and fight with the one that is forming that piece of pottery and question, "What are you doing?" Yet, human beings fight with God. They rebel with God or against God. They say, "I don't want to be the way you have created me. I'm going to make my own way in life, and you can't tell me what to do." Bottom line, that's what it boils down to. Let's not kid ourselves. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" End of quote. We can ask all we want, "God, why did you make us this way?" But that does not make it that God made a mistake in creating us the way he did. It is us who are rejecting that design, that model, that creation, we are the ones who don't like the plan. But that is not God's fault, number one. He didn't make a mistake. And number two, if we would make the attempt to understand things from God's perspective, we will see that in reality, the design that He has made us into is really beautiful. It is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is filled with a perspective that will fill us through and through as much as is possible this side of heaven. Now remember, earthly existence is not our ultimate goal. God has another goal in mind, which will be forever and ever. And that is what He is working toward and looking at. And He sees us in that ultimate goal, which is why He's patient. He prods us along. He waits for us to be able to understand what He is telling us, for us to experience things on our own and arrive at a conclusion that in reality, we don't know better than He does. Who are we to talk back to God? In the article I referred to earlier in the Daily Caller, some young women expressed their regret of undergoing sex changes in their adolescent years. And they spoke about their experiences, and they also spoke about the adults who allowed them to transition. And they want to make it very clear that they would have liked the adults in their life to guide them differently. But they were greatly influenced, especially by the adults at school. Did you hear that? And this is why what the public schools are doing to expose and plant these ideas in the children, even as young as preschoolers and on up, is so dangerous. It's criminal. You heard that right. It's criminal and outrageous. It is child abuse, and it needs to stop immediately. It needs to stop immediately. That's what is also the opinion of these girls that were interviewed. The girls were given extreme interventions ranging from hormones and puberty blockers to double mastectomies in adolescence, in efforts to relieve their gender confusion, according to the article. Why do you suppose the adults around them did not speak to them about the long-range effects of this? Because several of these girls blamed the adults in their lives for failing them. So we should never just take at face value a resistance from our minor children or even children at any age to plod along believing lies. And if that means that it's going to affect your relationship with your son or daughter at whatever age, it is better that once that son or daughter is an adult, has gone through life, and it may take decades for them to acknowledge this, but in the end, they will know that you loved them and you told them the truth. You were honest with them, even though you were telling them things that at that moment they did not want to hear. And I have read testimonies and stories of men especially, who have gone through sex change procedures, and they're now in their 60s, 70s, and even 80s, and they're still regretting what they did because they went totally against the design that they were created to be, But not only that, they deformed their bodies and their function to such a degree that now they don't fit neither here nor there. But you know what? One thing that stuck out in the stories of these gentlemen that I read is that several of them had found their true identity in God. In spite of all that they had done, they found their true identity in God when they had a born-again experience. They said, it's like God made me over again. And now, even though physically I'm so different, inside I am happy. I am finally fulfilled. And I love the life that I now have. And that is the difference, folks, in accepting and living life God's way as opposed to our rebellious way. One of these girls says that she began identifying as transgender at age 15. She said she had mental health issues buried inside until school counselors began encouraging her to transition. Notice that. The counselors began encouraging her to go through this process. She said, as soon as I said I was trans, it was all hands on deck. There was no more questioning. There was no more digging deep to try to find the root cause. It was all hands on deck immediately to proceed with the transition. So days after turning 18, she drove to Chicago from her hometown. She spoke with a social worker and was prescribed testosterone by a nurse practitioner. You heard that right. A nurse practitioner, without ever seeing a doctor. She convinced the nurse practitioner, who initially recommended 25 milligrams weekly, to prescribe her 100 milligrams in order to accelerate the procedure. The girl convinced the nurse practitioner to do this for her. Can you believe that? She convinced someone who isn't even a doctor to give her an increased and dangerous prescription. And why do I say that? Because of what happened. Needless to say, the drug negatively impacted her mental health. And she began hitting herself and once went to the emergency room after cutting herself with a knife. She regretted the whole thing and detransitioned in 2018. Can you imagine? It impacted her that she wanted to harm herself, hitting herself, cutting herself. This is no joke, folks. This is nothing lightly to be looked at. And to think that there are adults as high up as in the Biden administration putting out these claims that young people need to medically transition. Dear friends, in my view, and it should be in your view too, this is criminal. This is criminal. Another young girl who took hormones for 5 years and had a double mastectomy blamed her parents and doctors for allowing her to transition and said that her parents were super on board and started really identifying with being trans parents. What are these people thinking? What is guiding their value system? I'll tell you what it is. It's these thoughts and ideas that are circulating in our society, that are impacting our culture, that are even coming from sources like the government and even churches and parents, that get young people believing that this is something that is acceptable. These value systems are certainly not God's value systems. And that's why they don't work for anything good, that is. It doesn't matter if people who have gone through these procedures want to continue to make people believe that they have arrived at a perfectly good, comfortable place that is correct. It is not. When parents and the important institutions in a young person's life are in a collaborative idiocy of insisting that it's okay to live life upside down. Dear friends, there's no hope for survival for such a society. Where is this going to take us? I'll tell you where. To a total physical, moral, and spiritual collapse. This is what has happened to other civilizations who have committed the same types of rebellions against God's order for life, and we will not be the exception. These girls also discussed in their stories the role social media played in their transitions. One girl said she started identifying as transgender at 12, during a time when she was spending much of her time on a transgender site. And another said she learned about words like pansexual and bigender at age 12 and began to wonder if she was a boy. Both went on to medical transition, and to this day, they regret their decisions. Just imagine if some kids get started on this kind of mentality and being introduced to all these skewed perspectives at a much earlier age, like the schools are promoting, what will our society look like in the not-too-distant future? I'm sorry, this mentality is creating freaks. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 23 says, "Whom have you taunted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel." End of quote. That is who people are shaking their fist at and pointing their finger at and saying, we are going to do things our way. This is dangerous, folks. We're going to continue with this topic, and I hope that you will join us next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.